Welcome to the Yoga Teacher Business Foundation course, designed to help teachers finally nail their niche, grow their confidence and their business savvy, and generate a consistent income of £2,000 sterling or more a month teaching part-time. If you've found filling your classes and growing your community frustrating, you're in the right place. These podcasts are deliberately designed as bite-sized nuggets of information to help you move from struggle and frustration to a career which is not only emotionally rewarding, but financially too. In the first podcast, looking at what holds us back from thriving as yoga teachers, I explained that I see three key things that hold us back. First, your internal belief patterns. Beliefs such as, I'm not good enough, I don't know enough yet, it's impossible to make a real living teaching yoga, I'm not good with tech. I looked at seven key beliefs in that podcast that I've held and I constantly see the teachers that I work with hold too, which I know stop us from being successful, but over which we do have control to change for the better. The second belief that can hold us back are our external belief patterns. And I'd like to delve a little deeper into these on this session. And the third and final thing holding so many yoga teachers back is their business model, which I'll do in the next podcast. So for now, let's take a moment to think about external beliefs that might hold you back. What exactly are they and what might they include? First, what is an external belief? Well, it's a belief that you hold about the world around you, including other people, society, and the environment. Here's four that I see commonly amongst the teachers that I work with. Number one, the yoga market is saturated, especially in my area. Number two, economic barriers, blaming a sluggish economy, recession, as a reason why it's simply not possible to increase prices or to grow student numbers. Number three, limiting societal norms. Oh, boy, don't get me going on this one. I have done another podcast called Avoiding Dogma in Yoga, which talks about this in more depth. But suffice to say that there are, sadly, societal norms, often within the yoga fraternity itself, about how yoga teachers should teach, what they teach, which holds teachers back from pursuing their individual, authentic voice. So I won't go into too much depth here, but I will say a little more in a moment. Fourthly, I have a full-time job, which means I need to pay the bills. Time and money mean I simply can't build something that replaces my income. So let's look at these four external beliefs a little more closely, because I do believe they limit you in what you can do. Belief number one, the yoga market is saturated, especially in my area. Well, I don't know where you live, so you may be facing more competition than I do. Although, even in a relatively small city, there's over 30 yoga teachers within a 10-mile radius of me. And it can be really dispiriting and very easy to get caught in the internal belief spiral of, there's not enough room for me. Or they've been going longer and they're more established. What chance have I got? Or even the prices they're charging. I don't know how they make it work. How can I compete with that? Whilst I totally advocate doing some research into what's going on in your area as part of finding your niche and your voice process, what I also find is that for too many yoga teachers, researching the competition totally messes with their confidence and increases the belief that there simply isn't room for them. I have to tell you, this belief will cause you to do what I call the rabbit in the headlight syndrome, to stay stuck and afraid to move, just thinking that whichever way you turn, you don't stand a chance against the competition. In my mentoring process, we take quite a bit of time to deal with this. And it begins with helping you to do two key things. First, see how whilst there might be a lot of teachers out there, I bet you that over 90% of them are struggling, don't have anything that makes them stand out, don't have a clear niche or offer, and some of them don't even exist anymore. You know, when I first began, I actually reached out to all the teachers that I could find in my area. I looked on the directories, Google searched, etc., and at least 10% of them didn't even actually teach anymore. They'd been out of business for months, if not years. Secondly, in order to move past this sense of too much competition, we work hard on honing your niche in my mentoring course and your authentic voice. Because you know what? That is what will make you stand out in any crowd. And whilst it won't happen overnight, come on now, honestly, one belief worth having is the yoga teachers that are successful stay the course and just do some things differently to most other yoga teachers. But it is perfectly possible to really find your voice and to stand out, even in what you believe is a crowded market. So don't let that stop you, please. Belief number two, economic barriers. Blaming a sluggish economy, recession, as a reason why it's simply not possible to increase prices or grow student numbers. Are there people out there going to yoga classes? Yes. Are there people still going out for meals, coffee with friends, buying new iPhones or the latest gadgets, booking holidays, going to the cinema or theatre, or paying for other experiences? Absolutely. True. Some are having to seriously tighten their belt. If that's your target market, then for sure, you may have to do some rethinking or find organisations who will help to subsidise your classes. But there are still potential students out there who do still have disposable income and who do value their health. And here's the thing. Anyone who does have some disposable income, any sort, chooses what to spend that on based on their perception of value. So if you can position yourself as a yoga teacher in such a way as to offer them something which they see as good value and it's important to them, then they will choose to take some of that disposable income to work with you. Having a good offer, not the same as the cheapest offer, by the way, where they can truly see the benefit to them, and you'll weather most recessions. I think perhaps the greatest example of this working for me was during the pandemic. Up to then, I'd never taught online, only face-to-face. But of course, when the pandemic hit, it was either I do online, which my students were requesting, or I had no income. So I went online. I charged. And I had almost 100 students paying a monthly subscription. Despite the fact, there are how many free yoga videos on YouTube? So, never believe there isn't space for something people perceive as value. Your job is to ensure your positioning and your offer is of value. And that's what I help teachers with in my mentoring program. Belief number three. Limiting social norms. As I mentioned earlier, I've done another podcast totally diving into this topic, which, to be frank, really does frustrate me sometimes in the yoga fraternity. So do have a listen to that episode if this is something you're aware holds you back from being your authentic self. But for now, let me just ask you, do you ever find yourself feeling like you should be teaching a certain way, or you shouldn't charge, or you charge too much for yoga, or you aren't really into the chakras or philosophy, and it's other aspects of yoga's wide techniques and tools that inspire you more, but somehow you feel you ought to be teaching this? Or maybe there's discussions in Facebook groups where they go on rants about what is and what is not yogic. It's really easy to shrink back under those circumstances, to feel somehow we're less than being a true yogi because we see things differently, because we don't teach real yoga, in inverted commas, whatever the heck that is. So we don't let our light shine. All I know and believe is that yoga is a tool amongst many that can have a profound and significant positive change to people's well-being. And the more true to myself that I am with my students, the more I attract like-minded souls, and the better results I see with them too. And that's all I care about. So don't let dogma or societal norms about how you should behave as a yoga teacher hold you back. And finally, belief four, not enough time. I've got to work to pay the bills. How can I possibly grow a yoga business? I guess this is closely linked to belief number one, that it's going to be so hard to stand out in a crowded market that you'd be foolish to quit a salary and risk ending up with no money coming in. I get that. I really do. But if you've listened to any of my previous podcasts, you'll know that I transitioned from a coaching business I was running to earning all of my income from teaching yoga. But I did it as a transition. Here's the thing. I do not advocate jumping ship until you have a few things in place and some business skills to get your foundation ready before you jump. But is it possible? Yes. This is about having a strategy, a system, a process. It's about building some strong foundations first so that you can see that what you are offering has people lining up to work with you. And then putting some things into place to ensure that you keep a steady stream of interested potential students always looking to work with you. Once you have that, you have the basis for a business which gives you the reliable income that you need to maybe go part-time or even quit the old job, but you know you're doing it from a position of certainty and confidence. I've built a highly profitable business teaching what I call part-time hours, and I transitioned from another role. Once you see others can do it, you realize it's possible for you too. It just takes some business savvy, a willingness to do some work, patience, and persistence. Let's face it, most of which is needed to master a headstand or an arm balance, so I'm guessing you do have that in spades. So those four external beliefs again. The yoga market is saturated, especially in my area. Economic barriers, blaming a sluggish economy, recession as a reason why it's simply not possible to increase prices or to grow student numbers. Limiting societal norms and the dogma around yoga teaching. Or the thinking that because you have a full-time job which you need to pay the bills, time and money means you simply can't build something that replaces that income. Do any of these, or all perhaps, resonate for you? In the next podcast in this series, I'll delve into the final thing that I think hold most teachers back, not having the right business model. We'll learn the different types of model in teaching and why choosing the right one for your stage of business and chosen lifestyle is going to be absolutely crucial for your success. And if you'd like support to help you overcome your limiting beliefs and lay the foundations for a sustainable yoga business, then perhaps I can help. Over 12 weeks, I help aspiring yoga teachers understand how to build a profitable part-time business generating £2,000 to £4,000 sterling a month. They learn how to create a business model and a marketing strategy that means that they can transition from other employment to a part-time business, which they can then choose to scale if they wish. So if you'd like to know more about how this 12-week mentoring and coaching program might help you do the same thing, contact me direct at shona@fastmail.com. Seriously, I know I can help. Namaste. Thank you for listening. I hope you find these tips helpful. With over a decade of experience and into my 70s now, I'd like to think that I can help other yoga teachers find a rewarding career teaching yoga. I run a foundation training course in business skills for yoga teachers, designed specifically to give them a solid base and business savvy upon which they can build and scale up if they choose. If you're interested in learning more, drop me a line at shona@fastmail.com. Meanwhile, Do subscribe to the podcast. Let me know if you have any feedback or topics you'd like to listen to. And go out there and bring your yoga to the students that you were meant to serve. Namaste.